The Monty Show on a Wednesday. Hello. Good to be with you. I'm Monty. That's Jake.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Jake. Hi. You can follow us on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find us on Twitter. We got to talk Chicago Cup baseball today. The rotation's out, and it's almost shocking, but I love it. So we'll talk about that. Steph Curry is full anti-Trump mode today. Don't go to Dick's Sporting Goods if you want to buy assault rifles or high-capacity magazines. Hope Hicks, the sexiest woman in the White House.
Hello, beautiful.
Out. Kobe or LeBron, Jordan Clarkson comments on that. LaMelo Ball looks freaking miserable, by the way.
What, Lithuania's not like Chino Hills? Come on.
Bro, if you don't follow me on Twitter, you should. The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I retweeted a Bleacher Report article where they followed him around for a month in Lithuania, and he sounds freaking miserable. Like, awful, off the hook. LaMelo Ball, I don't know how you're doing it, bro. I don't. I really don't. Jake, what are we listening to right here?
This is Stolen Dance by Sad Necessary.
I'm sorry, who?
Sad Necessary.
Oh, I never heard of you.
They're not very big. They have this one song, One Hit Wonder.
Hey, what his anatomy has to do with this, I don't know. But my point is, I love this song. It's a great song. Yeah. All right, let's start talking a little Steph Curry, because it is Warriors and Wizards bullets in Washington tonight. And I'm curious your thoughts about Steph Curry going full anti-Trump. So if you don't know, let me set this up real quick. You know that Steph Curry is a guy that really does not care what you think of him, and Steph Curry really does not care what you think about his shoe, the Warriors not going to the White House, right? So this has been a huge narrative. Well, Steph Curry didn't go to the White House. Instead of going to the White House, the Golden State Warriors were active in the community yesterday on their day off in Washington, which I actually think is a pretty good, admirable thing for them to do. What I think is interesting, though, is that there wasn't a lot of shock, or there wasn't, you know, a lot of uproar over that. Were you surprised? What were your thoughts on the Warriors not going to the White House?
I just think it falls in line with every other organization that's kind of had to deal with this. So essentially, teams who win, you know, they go to their obligatory White House visit. Let's go see Trump. Or years past, let's go see Obama. And I think guys are just not, you know, going to go see Trump if they don't agree with it. I think they're not just going to fall in line. That's not how they became who they are today. It's not how they're going to continue to be successful. So they're not just going to fall in line with his principles and, you know, his opinions on all this stuff in the political landscape.
But fall in line is one thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people look at the Warriors not going to the White House as straight disrespect. Is it disrespectful of Donald Trump, of the president? Is it disrespectful of the office of the president? Is it disrespectful to our country for the Golden State Warriors to skip going to the White House? Because it is traditional that champions from each sport go to the White House. I think
viewing something as disrespectful is a matter of opinion. I think it's, again, this is uniquely American. You don't have to do anything. It may be tradition, but that doesn't mean you have to go. Like, if you don't agree and you want to use that opportunity to boycott, then do it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I much like Colin Kaepernick and I mean all of the LeBron controversies with Donald Trump, I think it's very American.
Yeah.
If you are not aligned with the guy, don't go. But I think Steph Curry went a step further, if you will, because he's going to wear a special shoe tonight. His Curry 4 will honor Barack Obama and the Barack Obama Foundation's My Brother's Keepers Alliance, which essentially what My Brother's Keepers do is they fund a path forward for youth in our country, mainly young black men in this country, to believe in a dream, to facilitate their achieving things in this life.
Yeah.
And essentially, it's working with young black youth to get them off the streets, to get them into school, to get them educated, to get them earning and succeeding in life, changing their path, if you will.
Yeah.
He's wearing a shoe tonight in honor of Barack Obama. in Washington after skipping a visit with Donald Trump to celebrate the Warriors championship. Surprised? Yeah. What are your thoughts on it?
I like it. I'm not sure if I'm surprised or not. I feel like this is something Steph Curry would do. This is something an NBA player would do. I mean, the shoe game in the NBA, it's a huge deal. I mean, that's
huge.
That's like half the conversation in the NBA. You know, what's Nick Young wearing tonight? You know, Nick Young wore this ugly ass shoe the other night. You know, so I think for Steph Curry to use that, again, to take an opportunity to use his platform and affect the shoe game, I think is brilliant. It's really smart. It's smart marketing for him. I think
absolutely.
It's going to make Under Armour money. I just think it's smart.
Does this have any impact on Donald Trump at all? Do you think he cares?
I think the only reaction you'll ever get out of him is something negative.
Because he had a terrible day today. I mean, if you don't follow politics or, you know, Wednesday, February 28th was not a good day for Donald Trump. Hope Hicks not only testified yesterday on Capitol Hill, she quit today. His director of communications at the White House, she's resigning. Now, her end date is not defined at this point, not known at this point, but it will be soon. Hope Hicks, by the way. Hope Hicks is easy on the eyes.
Yes.
She's a good-looking lady.
Well, see, her former career was modeling, and then she got into politics without any
experience
or anything like that.
But that's the point. Do you believe that Donald Trump hired Hope Hicks because she saw it?
On some level.
Because that's the prevailing theory.
Well, that's who he is, though. I mean, his actions speak louder than his words. And I think when you look at just everything that's gone on in this presidency and the scandals and all that, that's exactly why he brought her on.
She admitted in front of Congress yesterday while testifying, she admitted that she has told white lies. She has not lied about the Russia investigation. She made this very clear.
She didn't lie. She just didn't tell the whole truth.
I haven't lied about the Russia investigation. But in my tenure in the White House, in the Trump administration, I have told white lies. Does that surprise you? Because to me, that doesn't surprise me at all.
If you don't have any experience in the political landscape, you're going to have to lie at some point to save your own
look, Scaramucci, take it easy.
Come on.
I think the interesting thing here is that another one of Trump's, you know, I don't want to say inaugural staff, but his original staff has really been whittled away.
The people he brought on originally are either on the way out or taking huge scrutiny.
Yeah.
Or you know, they're actually just losing their security clearances. So that's, you know.
Oh, Jared Kushner. Finally, though. But how do you, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Different show, I guess. But would you want to work for Donald Trump? Because
I'd want to get paid.
But here's the thing. I don't think I could work for Donald Trump. I don't care how much he paid me. Because the hard part for me is I think when you're at the presidential level, you're impacting Americans' lives.
Right.
So when you're Hope Hicks and you're telling little white lies, they're not little white lies. You're hurting America.
I like what Periscope is saying. They're saying take the job, get paid, and then get fired. I like that. I like that.
where are your scruples in that? Like, where are your... Yeah, yes. Like Melania Trump's friend who was an event planner.
Yeah, make a buck and get on there.
A buck? She made $24 million.
No, come on.
$24 million. Well, for Trump, it's $24 million as pocket change. Mm-hmm. But is that not like you're stealing from America at that point?
Hey, if that's stealing, I'm a thief, bro. Like I can't blame him.
Wait.
You're telling me, dude.
You would work for Donald Trump if you were paid $1 million a year. And because I'll tell you, I did not vote for Trump. I am not a fan of Donald Trump's. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take $1 million a year from that guy just for the money and do anything that I thought would benefit his presidency. I feel like it's stealing from Americans.
And this is what Periscope is saying, and this is right where I was going to go, actually. You don't actually have to, and this is all dependent on the position, of course, but you don't actually have to, you know, take steps to help Donald Trump. You just kind of have to get by every day that you can
so
until
you're stealing,
you get fired.
You're freeloading on Americans.
Yes, yes.
There's something inherently wrong with that.
You're telling me you wouldn't do it, and you're telling me most Americans wouldn't do it.
Well, I don't know about most Americans.
I think most Americans would do it. I think it's an opportunity.
We live in a country where people panhandle and make millions of dollars a year panhandling. They don't want to work, so they panhandle and get paid to do it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. Some would say it's enterprising to go and take money. Okay, if you're just in the gig supporting Donald Trump and you're not really supporting him, you're just collecting your paycheck?
Yeah.
You're Sean Spicer? I don't know. Like, I don't want to be Sean Spicer. I don't want to be Hope Hicks.
Scaramucci.
I don't want to be Scaramucci. I don't want to be any of these idiots that have gotten whacked already. Like, you're out of a gig in less than a year, 18 months. You know, and I guess Hope Hicks can go on to write a book. Right? Like, she's hot, so she'll probably be employable.
She'll be fine. Yeah.
But it's just, like, who's going to hire Anthony Scaramucci?
Hey, you can put it on your resume, though. You can put it on your resume.
Like, Sean Spicer can, like, all these people can write a book.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Flynn's going to prison.
That's what I'm saying. It's so much more.
Michael Flynn's going to prison. Paul Manafort's going to prison.
Right, but that's the Russia stuff. I'm not talking about getting involved in the Russia stuff.
That little Russia thing.
All I'm talking about is filling out some forms every day or going to get him coffee and getting my paycheck. That's it.
Here are the papers. Put a paper clip on it. Put it in the box.
Yeah.
Put a paper clip on it. Put it in the box. Pour Donnie some coffee.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock and we got to go to that party you had your girl plan? You know, I'm out. I actually had a date. I got to go to a Nats game to see Bryce Harper.
Tomorrow's March 1st. It's payday, man.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's what your life
is. That's what I'm saying.
Right? Like, that's what your life is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I guess you can do it. I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
Could you tweet for the president?
Oh, Jesus.
It's not you tweeting. It's him, but you're the writer.
So I'm just holding his phone while he's yelling at me.
You're just typing on the iPhone 10 trying to keep up.
Okay. I would admittedly.
Because that's what Hope Hicks essentially was doing. She wasn't tweeting for him, but she was telling him, hey, you might not want to say that. Or you should say this.
Well, then
this.
The woman failed because he says everything on Twitter,
man. Because she's a model, not a politician.
She says everything. Would you want to be the director of social media for Donald Trump?
That's rough, bro. That's rough.
Like, how much oversight do you get?
Depends on how much I'm getting paid,
If you're running Donald Trump's Twitter account, not the POTUS Twitter account that's bogus.
Yeah.
The
Donald Trump.
Real Donald Trump. Real, I think it's real Donald J. Trump, whatever it is. If you're running that Twitter account for a living, like, what's the burnout factor? Like, see, I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do it. You're too opinionated to do it.
No. I don't want to screw Americans. And if you read Donald Trump's Twitter, yes, you are.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No, he is. You're not. You're a go-between.
Dude.
You're a go-between.
No. No.
Yes.
What was that tweet he put out yesterday? Witch hunt.
All caps, exclamation point.
I would run into that high school. No, you would not, asshole. No, you would not run into that high school. I'm seven feet tall
playing in the NBA.
You're not going in that school.
Is that before or after you have your Big Mac and your Diet Coke?
Excuse my French. Yeah, right? Okay. If you're Donald, do you believe Donald Trump would run into the school?
No.
Would you run into the school?
If I had a gun, unarmed.
If it was me personally,
if I was
with
one
a
of
gun,
those cops, yeah, hell yes, yeah, I'm going in there. That's your job. You have to go in, right? You took an oath.
What president in history would run into the school? I think, would the Kennedys run into the school?
Probably.
Gerald Ford?
No.
He'd just kill the guy with an errant golf shot.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford was a terrible... Gerald Ford was a former president, Jake, the millennial, who has no idea.
I get it.
Gerald Ford!
Is there anything else you'd like to rip on millennials about before we
do you think W would run into the school?
No, I don't.
Obama?
No.
I think Obama would.
No, I don't think he would. If he had a gun, he would.
Michelle?
No.
Would Michelle Obama run into the school?
No.
I think
she'd run around the back of the school.
Clearly, what was Michelle Obama, though?
Michelle Obama is a super intelligent person, right? So she's not the person that runs into the front door right where the shooter is. She goes around back and tries to evacuate
everybody. You're overthinking the
game. I'm just telling you. That's what it is.
I'm just asking a simple question. Does Barack Obama, if he has a gun, run into the school?
Yes, he goes in. Yes.
W, I think, goes in. Mm-hmm. I think I do. Yes, I do. I think 9 out of 10 presidents go in. I don't think Donald Trump is the one president who goes in. I don't. So I'm not, and I'm not even saying that because I'm anti-Trump. I just don't. You know what
I
mean?
How good do you think Trump is with an AK?
I don't think he's a good shot. Is anybody a good shot with it? How about Dick's Sporting Goods today?
Yes.
Holy crap! How are we not talking about this? The fact that.
Sorry. Periscope's agreeing. Trump's not going in.
No, hell
come
no.
on. Come on.
He's not going in there.
All right.
There's no way he's going in there. But Dick's Sporting Goods today said that they are banning the sale of assault weapons, high capacity magazines, and any weapon to anybody 21 years and under.
Mm-hmm.
That's not federal law, obviously.
Right.
I thought that was a policy
move.
I love
it. I think if you. if you apply what Dick's Sporting Goods did here to other situations in the sports landscape, I think if other organizations did this, if someone actually brought on Colin Kaepernick and said, hey, feel free to kneel, we're not going to stop you, we want you to play on the field, we like it. If someone actually did that, how would that change the NFL? Like, I feel like that would change the NFL massively.
Dramatically.
Like, there's so many examples of how you could get out in front of something that, like the NCAA scandal. If the NCAA would get out in front and they'd fire a bunch of people and they'd make sweeping changes and a new bunch of rules and all that stuff, it would change the whole situation.
But what Bruce said on Periscope, somebody wants your money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Dick's Sporting Goods clearly has what they believe is a moral responsibility to take this into their own hands.
Dude, if you're selling weapons, you have a responsibility.
Right. Well, true. But some would tell you that they should be able to sell assault rifles and high-capacity magazines and that they should be able to do that.
Though some people are the NRA.
But. Legally. Well, whoever. But I think there are opportunities out there. I think there are other opportunities out there. I think Dick's Sporting Goods has a tremendous amount of courage to do this.
I think they just made a bunch of money.
I don't know if they're smart or not. I have no idea.
I think they are.
Dude, the NRA will come after them. And the hell that you will pay for doing this on both sides of it?
Yeah, but I don't think – it's not like the NRA is going to shut them down. They're not going to shut down the entire brand. Dick's Sporting Goods isn't going out of business because of the NRA.
Dude, but think about who Dick's Sporting Goods is. Dick's Sporting Goods is a retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And retail is struggling. Well, hell, here in Arizona, how many stores did they close?
So many.
Dick's Sporting Goods is not exactly booming these days. So that's why I say I think it takes some courage to do what they did. But I'd like to think if I had a gun and there was an active shooter, especially around kids, I would do something about it. I'm a concealed carry permit guy.
I think I probably wouldn't go in alone. I think if I had someone with me, I'd go in.
I'd go in alone. I'd probably get killed. But I'm a huge target. I'd probably get shot.
Yeah.
But I would do everything. I would be... Are you willing to die to save 17 teenagers?
In that situation, probably.
I think I am.
Yeah, probably.
I think I probably am. And I don't know...
If you're a concealed carry permit holder,
mm-hmm.
why do you have it if you're not going to go in, right? Like, that's the whole point of having
it. I agree with that. Very true. Hey, I want to talk about LaMelo Ball a little bit, too. Speaking of a-hole dads. Mm-hmm. LaMelo Ball... As you guys know, LaMelo, Cleangelo, and LaVar are in Lithuania playing basketball.
And Lonzo's in the NBA.
Yeah. Bleacher Report did a whole magazine-style article, long form, and if you haven't seen it, holy cow, you need to read it. It's on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. It's on my Twitter feed where... They followed LaMelo Ball, and this really focuses on LaMelo.
Yeah.
LaVar plays a very bit part in this, but they followed LaMelo around, and it paints an ugly picture of Lithuania for LaMelo Ball. Literally, the headline is, terrible food, hotel, practice, sleep, repeat.
Yeah.
He does not have friends. He does not have a social life. He does not speak the language, so he cannot interact with his coach very well. His teammates, apparently, if you believe this article, and you read it as much as I did,
yeah.
I don't feel like the article paints a favorable picture. I don't think his teammates like him. The opponent's gun for them.
Well, of course.
And he's a 16-year-old kid that weighs 100 pounds soaking wet, and he's getting his ass kicked in league play. And it paints a picture of a team that doesn't practice much.
Well, it's just not – they're not professionals. I mean, that's really what this comes down to. I would say that – most college teams here would beat any of the competition there. To give perspective, I think that's fair. I think when you look at LaMelo's life, I think you have to understand what Lithuania is as far as like the landscape, the actual country itself.
Yeah.
It's a dark, cold place. They don't have streetlights. It is pitch black at night. Like, it's cold, 17 degrees and dark out.
And it is the dead of winter.
So there's no mall to go to. This isn't Chino Hills where you got life and dinner and like all this side fun stuff that you can do. You live in that arena. That's
what
it is.
You have crappy food.
Yeah.
You have small hotel rooms.
Yep.
You have hours worth of drives after games to get back to your hotel room. And it really paints this picture of how LaVar Ball manipulated this Lithuanian basketball team that LaMelo and Cleangelo play for to put these two boys on that team. And it clearly has made them villains because LeVar is just such a jerk.
Yeah.
Yelling and screaming and insulting people. And it just paints a horrendous picture of what life there is like. And it, like in the article, they talk about how there's no discipline in practice.
Yeah.
If you miss a layup, if you drop a pass, if you make a defensive mistake and blow an assignment, there's no discipline. They really are only practicing to take shots, to get shots up. There's no control of the offense. They left the Lithuanian league part of the schedule. They stopped playing games in their league in Lithuania to do this big baller brand challenge, which was against amateur teams, so that LaMelo and LiAngelo would actually get minutes in games, because they only play like 5-10 minutes in league games.
Yeah.
And it just paints a really bad picture.
Yeah.
Did LaVar Ball do the right thing with LaMelo and LiAngelo?
I think with LiAngelo is just along for the ride, in my opinion. I don't think he's a big-time NBA player at this point. He'll definitely see the G League, no doubt about that. But I think he's got a lot of growing to do to get to the NBA. But for LaMelo, being the talent that he is, I think, I don't know, I have some reservations. I don't think mentally at his age, because, again, LaMelo's 16 years old, so mentally, you're not fully there yet. You're not all the way developed. So you're still trying to understand what life is really about.
Yes, yeah.
And you're still trying to understand and have certain expectations about what your day-to-day should really be like. And at this point, he's not really thinking that way, I don't think. I think he's more thinking about, well, how can I just get to the next point in my life?
Here is the coach from Lithuania running practice, right? And an excerpt from the Bleacher Report article says, "Hoop hotel, hoop hotel. Practices are light. Lots of shots, no sprints, players walking through dribbling drills. I asked the coach why he never yells at Melo or Jello. The coach says, quote, it's his first time away from home, doing this through a translator because the coach does not speak or understand English.
Right.
It's his first time away from home. It's his first time playing grown men basketball. So there's a lot of pressure from everywhere else, and I don't want to put any extra pressure on him. Is it the family, he was asked. You don't want to piss off the Ball family. The coach replies, yeah, there is some truth in that. So he wants to stay good with LaVar. Like, this whole thing just stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
LaVar Ball is not doing this for LaMelo's development.
No.
He is doing this for LaVar Ball.
Well, no, I think he's doing it for the brand. He's all
Which
about...
Which is to say he's doing it for LaVar Ball, right?
Right. I think... Yeah, it's the same thing. You're right. But I think at a certain point, eventually LaMelo is going to be able to break away from LaVar like Lonzo did. Because Lonzo's broken away. Lonzo's kind of doing his own thing at this
Lonzo's
point.
Lonzo's only broken away because of the issues related to LaMelo and
LiAngelo. The Lakers told LaVar to piss off, essentially.
Right, which is a really difficult situation.
Yeah.
Because you're in a spot now where the Lakers don't want LaVar around.
For good reason.
And by the way, you're in a spot now where Lonzo Ball has to play better.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy, in my opinion, that is not playing great basketball. Like, he sat out a month with a knee injury. What did he do at practice today? Had a dunk contest against Kyle Kuzma after practice today.
Mm-hmm.
So did you sit him out, or did he sit out because he actually had a knee injury? Because if you have your number one draft pick coming off a knee injury, are you really letting him take part in a dunk contest tonight? Or today after practice on a game night?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem smart.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But this is what I say, like, mentality-wise, you know, I'm not comparing Lonzo to Kobe, but the reason I'm bringing up Kobe is because there was a lot of documentation and coverage over the fact that Kobe was just obsessive. Like, he was so obsessive to the point where he would stay after practice, and the way he was shooting the ball, he focused on how it sounded snapping the net. Like, that's how obsessive Kobe was about being a better player.
But isn't that how you have to be?
If you want to be as good as Kobe and you want to be as good as the best in the league, but that's not how
every... Do you think Lonzo wants to be?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he wants to be the best player, like, in the league ever.
What do you think he's trying to do?
I think he's just trying to make a lot of money and enjoy the lifestyle. And I think his talent got him to the NBA. And I think at some point he will get knocked back if he doesn't improve. Like, he will. I'm not saying he's going to go to the G League. What I'm saying is I think his minutes will start to go down, or there will be a process where he starts to kind of get pushed back down. And the Lakers say, look, you need to improve. And until you improve, you're not getting 30 minutes a night or whatever.
and I watch a lot of Laker basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I would stop short of saying I'm a Laker fan, but I watch a lot of Laker basketball. Lonzo Ball does not make his teammates better. Everybody raves about the fact that this guy's a great passer and he sees the court, and that may be true, but I don't think he understands basketball. And this is a problem NBA-wide right now because of how many one-and-dones there are in the league. And when you don't go to college, you don't understand space. And space in basketball is like blood to a human being. You have to have good spacing, and you have to understand how to manipulate space to be a good basketball player. And Lonzo Ball doesn't understand how to manipulate space. He doesn't understand, like, if he were a driving kick point guard, forget about it. The guy would be deadly. He's not. He's not. He wants to be a three-point shooter. He wants to be, you know, somebody that throws long passes that are perfect for alley-oops. And that's not how you achieve stardom in the NBA. Because he's never going to be, he'll never shoot 40% from three.
No.
He'll never shoot, as a jump shooter, he'll never shoot 50% from the floor.
Nope.
It is his weakness. And sadly, his strength is distribution. He just doesn't use it because he doesn't want to. And I'm curious, in the NBA, you just don't practice enough. I don't know how many people truly realize this. In the NBA, you don't get a lot of practice time. You shoot around a lot, you play a lot, and you rest a lot. But you don't get a lot of practice because of how many back-to-backs you play.
Right.
How long the road trips are. You're gone 12 days.
And the season
days.
Is long.
You don't have the luxury of practicing a lot. You might get two or three practices a month. You work on things in shoot-arounds and pregame shoots. But the only way a young player like Lonzo Ball gets better is practice. Because you're running three-on-threes, you're running five-on-fives, you're playing five-on-seven. That's how you get better at basketball. Because the basketball IQ has to go up. I'm not saying he's dumb.
Right.
But to bring this full circle, LaMelo Ball will never be a smart basketball player as long as he stays where he's at.
Right.
He has to get away from the
He's not getting an education there.
Yeah,
basketball education.
Dude, I'm telling you, LaMelo Ball will never realize his stardom until he gets away from LaVar Ball.
Yeah.
It won't happen. Lonzo's got a chance now because Luke Walton is a great teaching coach. But my thought process really right now is that Lonzo Ball will not be a career-long Laker. He won't. And I don't know that he'll be a second contract Laker. Like, he'll play his 5 years with the Lakers, and I think there's a chance that he moves on after that.
Yeah.
Now, if LeBron and Paul George show up next year, okay, now the game changes. Because if you're Lonzo Ball and you're listening
to... You're doing what they're telling you to do, bro.
And you're listening to LeBron James mentor you, okay, now your life has changed dramatically and you're a better basketball player. My question is, where the hell is Kobe? Because if I'm sitting here telling you that Lonzo Ball is not a high IQ guy...
But do they believe that?
Yes, they do. Because that's what...
Does Magic Johnson believe that?
I know he believes that. I know he knows that. Because those are the signs that are being put off. Crunch time, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of minutes Lonzo gets.
Yeah.
Like, how long is Lonzo on the floor in crunch time? I think that's critical. To bring this all back, you got to go read this article on LaMelo Ball from Bleacher Report. It's on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. I think this is a huge mistake. He has to get out of Lithuania after this season.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's helping at all to have LaMelo and LiAngelo playing in Lithuania. And I you know what? I don't know if LiAngelo's actually doing quite well because he's older. He's more mature. He played a little bit
and he's got
at
a
UCLA.
Bigger frame.
And he's a big body. He's doing well. In the games he's played, he's been Vytautas, the Lithuanian team they play for. He's been their leading scorer. He's their best, and I say this politely, LiAngelo Ball is their best basketball player. Jello is their best basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. You're not on a good team. Because a good team wouldn't have them.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it. But hey, whatever's whatever. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. One more Kobe thing. Jordan Clarkson today was asked after practice, what the difference between Kobe and LeBron is. And Clarkson said that LeBron James is a nurturer. He's going to bring you along. He's going to be nice. He's going to be friendly. Kobe was a screamer and a yeller and a guy that came after you. He attacked you and made you better by doing that. Who would you rather play for? Who would you rather have as a teammate, Kobe or LeBron?
As far as a team perspective, Kobe. I would rather be on a Kobe team, on a Kobe winning team, honestly, because he, if you look at what Kobe did, he did just that. He brought a bunch of okay guys along and he won with them. I think if you look at it from a perspective of like quality of life and happiness, yeah, you want to be with LeBron because he's going to be nicer to you. He's going to teach you in a more kind manner of where you should be on the floor.
Dude, stop. I'd rather be Kobe's teammate because I want to win championships.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're going to develop better. That doesn't mean that you're going to – if you're Lonzo Ball, like, that's great that you won a championship with Kobe. That doesn't make you better. Yeah, mentally it does.
Oh, I think – I totally disagree.
As a basketball
just
player –
just going through the process makes you a better basketball professional. I think being around Kobe Bryant makes you a better player because Kobe was a guy – and having covered Kobe in it with the Lakers and been around those Kobe Shaq teams and those shoot-arounds and those practices, if you left right after practice, Kobe let you know you were leaving. Like, I remember vividly Glenn Rice walking off of the practice court in El Segundo and Kobe chirping at him and yelling at him and trying to goat him into a three-point contest. One of the things that Kobe and Shaq constantly argued about was practice time and Kobe Bryant is not letting you take the easy road out, especially if he believes you're talented. So I think he makes you better.
Yeah, but if you're a douchebag doing it, what good are you? Well, I'm being serious.
Doing it.
I'm being serious. If you rub your teammates the wrong way and you create issues in the locker room doing it, what good are you?
If you win, you're very good. If you win, you're one of the best of all time. If you're LeBron, you wind up in situations where they got to trade three quarters of the roster to get you the guys that you need. That's the difference. Like Kobe Bryant, granted, Kobe...
And he played a different time, too.
Kobe is the... Kobe's the reason that Shaq left the Lakers. Don't forget that Kobe Bryant was trying to leave the Lakers. So it's not as though Kobe Bryant is some saint. But what it is that Kobe Bryant won championships with Shaq and after Shaq. Like, why did Pau Gasol go to the Lakers? He wanted to play with Kobe. He wanted to be a Laker, right?
Right, but Pau Gasol wasn't trying to get better as a player. He was trying to win.
He was trying to win. Well, right. And I'm not being a jerk about millennials at all. This, I think, is a perspective problem with your generation. Trying to get better is less important than trying to win. Because if you realize that going to the Lakers makes you a better basketball player. Are you going to develop more with the Lakers or with the Cavs? Well, with the Lakers. Are you going to develop more with the Lakers or the Memphis Grizzlies? With the Lakers, because there's an expectation, right? Are you going to develop more with the Dallas Mavericks or the San Antonio Spurs? With the San Antonio Spurs, there's history, there's tradition, there's expectations. You're going to develop more. You're going to become a better basketball player when you go to a place that wins. And I think that's really important because LeBron is not, and I know I'm going to sound like a jerk, and we've talked about this a crap ton on my show, but LeBron's not a winner. LeBron, just because LeBron's on your team doesn't mean you're going to win. You might get there. It doesn't mean you're going to win. When Jordan's on your team, if you get there, you're winning. When Kobe and Shaq were on your teams, you get there, you win. When Magic, when Larry, I mean, go through history. The best players, when they got there, they won. It's why, this is a can of worms. It's why Dan Marino's not a winner. It's why John Elway had to win those two Super Bowls. It's why Cleveland is where losers go. It's why Cleveland will draft Johnny Manziel. You can go through history and you can point to the organizations. In the NBA, it's the Lakers, the Spurs, the Celtics. Like, you can, why are the Bulls not having won since Jordan? Because they're a terrible organization. Why do the White Sox not win but one championship in recent memory? They're a terrible organization. Because they're owned by Jerry Reinsdorf. Why did the Chicago Blackhawks have to have William Wirtz die before they could win? Because he was a terrible owner. I mean, think this through. To be truly elite, you have to surround yourself with the truly elite. And if you want to be elite, go play with Kobe. If you want to be elite, you don't pick LeBron over Kobe. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't think you can settle for second best if you want to be the best.
I just think it depends. It all depends on your perspective. That's your perspective. From my perspective, I think it all depends on you know, from a developmental perspective. I don't think necessarily playing with Kobe is better for you than playing with LeBron if you're trying to develop as a 20-year-old kid in the NBA. I don't know that that's necessarily better for you. For a guy like Pau Gasol, yeah, you're not going to go to LeBron. You're going to go to Kobe because you know you're on the out of your prime. This is the last few years in your physical prime for Pau Gasol, and you want to win.
Yeah.
So you're going to go play with Kobe. But for Lonzo Ball to develop, yeah, it would be nice if Kobe was around. But if he had a choice, I think he would go with LeBron because he's soft. He's not a hardcore, I want to be the best player. So yeah. I think he would go to LeBron. I don't think he'd go to Kobe.
It's an interesting conversation, and speaking of winning or not, LeBron last night achieved 30,000 points, 8,000 rebounds, and 8,000 assists. Nobody's ever done that before. Ever. I mean, the guy can ball.
Dude, it's not a question that he's one of the best ever.
Yeah.
He's not a winner.
I think it depends, I agree with
it
that.
It depends what you care about. Do you care about racking up stats? Okay, well, LeBron's your boy.
Yeah. Hey, how about our Chicago Cubs rotation? I say our, not meaning you, Giant fan. The Chicago Cubs made some interesting news. They announced their rotation today, and it turns out that you, Darvish, will not be number two.
Or number one.
They're going John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, number two. You, Darvish, number three. Are you Quintana 4, Chatwood 5? Are you surprised by that?
Not even a little bit.
Oh, come on.
I'm not. What did I say when we started making this trade?
Come on.
What did I say?
You cannot tell me you're not surprised. I'm stunned. I follow that team every day. I'm stunned.
Right. And you said stunned. That you, Darvish, was a great acquisition and that he'll get you to the playoffs, but you don't know what you're going to get in the playoffs.
You don't pay a guy that kind of money.
Apparently you do. Because they did it.
Well, that takes a lot of balls. And why can they do it?
This is what I'm saying.
Why can they do it?
Because they've won already.
Nobody's going to question Theo Epstein or Jed Hoyer. And nobody's going to question Joe Maddon. That's why they can do it. So I think how much does it really mean to be the third starter in a rotation? Probably not a lot.
If you weren't getting paid, it's all about, again, when it comes to this conversation, okay, if you're making the most money, you should be the number one starter. That's the easy perception. For me, as a guy who played baseball, he's not a one or a two. And I've been saying that for a long time, and you said I've been wrong. My opinion is that Yu Darvish. Yeah, of Yu Darvish. I don't think he's a one or a two.
In the regular season, he can be an ace on any staff in baseball.
Well, then there's
one staff. It's the Washington Nationals. He'd be third.
Yeah.
Because he's not better than Scherzer. He's not better than Strasburg. He's third in that rotation. Find me another rotation where he's not number one. Chris Sale. Him and Chris Sale are the same guy. Chris Sale got rocked in the playoffs last year. He was a huge disappointment. So he and Yu Darvish, to me, are 1A and 1B.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care which one's the A or the B, right? So now you start looking around Major League Baseball and you say to yourself, well, who's the best staff in baseball? Look at the LA Dodgers. He's number one or 1B to Clayton Kershaw because Kershaw's had very little postseason success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yu Darvish dominates in the regular season. That's not a question. So, like, he can be an ace on anybody's staff. I think it's all perception, to your point. I think it's all perception. Yu Darvish doesn't have to carry the weight of the Chicago Cubs on his shoulders. John Lester.
And I don't think he's that guy either, by the way.
I think that's why it's a brilliant move. I'm stunned by it, and I'll say now what I said when they signed him. It's a terrible decision to sign Yu Darvish for this team. You should have brought back Jake Arrieta and made him your third starter.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
Right? So, but think about this now.
I agree with you on that.
So, if you made Darvish your third starter now, why did you not re-sign Jake Arrieta? Well, because I think Yu Darvish is a better pitcher from April to October 1st.
And from a financial perspective, I think they thought that they could save a little bit by putting more putting Kyle Hendricks in a higher position.
No question. I would agree with that. No question. But I think it is fascinating to me that you have a guy in Yu Darvish that you paid all that money to, and now he's your third starter. And it just goes to show you that the third starter, whether he be Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta, the third starter does not define your roster. It just doesn't. I'm just fascinated by it, I guess is what I'm saying. I love that the Cubs did it. I think it takes brass balls to say to Yu Darvish, hey, we paid you a massive contract. By the way, you're going to do what we tell you to do. You're going to be third. Kyle Hendricks is better than you. He's number two. I don't think anybody believes that John Lester is the ace of the Chicago Cubs staff, meaning that he's their best pitcher, because he's not.
No.
He's not their best pitcher. But he's their leader. John Lester is the unquestioned leader of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
And I think it just is the exact right thing to do. I love it. Now, I wish the guy could throw over to first base.
That'd be nice.
If he could throw to first base, I would love it. But he can't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Whatever. Cubs win the World Series this year?
I think they're right there. I don't know about winning it. There's a lot more talented teams this year than they were last year.
Did you see what the Nationals did today, by the way?
No.
So the Washington Nationals haven't been able to get over the hump. They brought camels into practice today to get over the hump.
But are you sure that wasn't because it's hump day?
No. They were not. See, and this is the Joe Maddon coaching tree.
Oh, it is.
Because this is Dave Martinez managing the Nationals.
Young guy.
It should be Dusty Baker, by the way. It's not. They bring in camels to get over the hump. They're laughing at themselves. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like it. I think it's, again, to your point, I think this wouldn't happen if Dusty Baker was their manager, but because it's Dave Martinez, a young guy who's just gotten in, I think the younger generation of manager definitely follows Joe Maddon's lead as far as stuff like this, like side activities that lighten everything up and take
it's
the
Washington.
Pressure off.
It's Washington. Why isn't Hope Hicks managing the Nationals? Anyway, I'll stop. I want to update you on the Arizona situation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me like, why are you looking at me like that? What do you make of this situation at the University of Arizona? The Regents are going to meet and make a determination on Sean Miller tomorrow. 24 hours from now, does Sean Miller still have a job?
Nah, I would tell you no. I mean, the right thing to do is to say, see you later. I mean, I don't know how you keep him.
At all.
At all.
Wow.
I'm serious. Give me a reason why you should keep him. He hasn't won. He's brought a negative culture to your program. And following the Rich Rod stuff, so you just can't keep the guy. It's time to let him go. And if that means you suck for a while, well, I got news for you. You didn't exactly do anything.
That means you suck for a while.
Well, I'm being serious. Like, you can't. This is a discussion we always end up having, right? Like, you, most programs will pick winning over doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't won, then winning's not an option to pick. So get rid of him.
Well, he's not coaching the team right now, so I think this
No, but I'm saying get him out of the program.
Yeah, I think this is a no-brainer that they fire him tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think the risk is not in firing him. The risk is in keeping Sean Miller at Arizona.
Yeah.
I think.
By the way, it's your only opportunity to get any kind of positive publicity of any kind.
Oh, hey, did you see Shareef O'Neal sign with UCLA? Shaq's son, who was committed to Arizona, decommitted when the wire fraud or the wiretap story came out on Sean Miller. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea.
That was the right move. Again.
He decommits from Arizona. Today or last night, he announced he's going to UCLA. I think it's a great move. He stays home in Los Angeles. They
it's
live
a big
in Los
baller
Angeles.
Move.
Yeah, okay, stop.
Sorry.
And he's going to be a one-and-done, and I think he's going to dominate in the Pac-12. I think it's right where he belongs.
Yeah.
He's Shaq's kid, so now Shaq's going to be in the stands at UCLA.
Does Orlando try to draft him?
Oh, jeez. No, because I think Orlando will be better a year from now.
Yeah.
Because remember, a year from now, he's going to be going into the draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see Cleveland taking a run at him.
The land.
Because the land. I could see the land taking a run at him because
LeBronless Cleveland.
Yeah, LeBronless the land is not going to be very good at all. So just projecting forward, if you think of who are the crappy teams, it's probably still the same group of teams, you know, that are there now, but I could see a team like the
Is Shareef O'Neal a superstar waiting to happen? I think he is.
But the problem is he's going to have to compete with a guy like Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. I think the draft a year from now,
Lit. Forget it.
I mean, there are so many really good high school seniors who will be ending their freshman season a year from now. Oh, man. I don't need that. Please. Yes, I think Arizona fires Sean Miller tomorrow. And lastly, Ryan Shazier will not play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2018. Duh. But this guy said today, Ryan Shazier said today he wants to resume his career. Remember that he hasn't been able to walk since he ran his face into some guy's ass on the field and had that neck or that spinal. They're saying it's somewhere between spinal trauma and a spinal concussion. And now all of a sudden.
I thought you said a spinal concussion.
No, Liverpool fans infuriating.
There's been a lot of people talking about United and Liverpool and City. Get out of here with that.
I'll take Antonio Conte any day over your German. Anyway, the point is, Ryan Shazier is saying that he wants to play in the NFL again. No. Ryan Shazier should retire.
Yeah.
Take the balance of your contract and go build yourself a life. You're lucky to still be A, alive, and B, have use of your lower limbs.
Yeah.
Ryan Shazier had one of the scariest incidents we've seen in the NFL in some time. And now the guy's talking about wanting to resume his career. And I say, no. You cannot do this. No, you cannot. Anyway, all right. That's it. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show.
Goodbye, Jake. For a shake, I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this awesome llama, make them piece the M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches, south beaches, surf, board, and high tide. I can just roll up, cause I'm swole up. So that birthday cake get the Cobra. Bugatti for real, I'm Cobra. The autobiography rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No thoughts, only...